human capital management stays on the Government Accountability Office's high-risk list since 2001, but there are four main areas government's still working to tackle to solve its biggest human capital challenges. Yvonne Jones is Director of Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office, and she testified to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Federal Management. She's been looking at progress the government's been making or not making on strategic human capital management. Yvonne, it's terrific to have you on the program again. Thanks for joining me. What was your message overall before we get into the four particular areas for the subcommittee in the Senate Homeland Security Committee? Thanks for being on today, Yvonne.
You're welcome, and thank you for inviting me. Basically, the bottom line message was that strategic human capital management is critical in maximizing the government's performance and assuring its accountability to the Congress and to the nation. But as you said, human capital management has been on the high-risk list since 2001, which means that there are still a lot of issues that need to be addressed. And our bottom line was that it's through the Office of Public Personnel Management, the Congress, and the agencies working together that we will see progress.
I'd like to work through each of the four areas that you testified to the subcommittee about. The first one is the general schedule system.
Yes.
And the overall issues with that. What specifically have you and your colleagues at GAO looked at regarding the GS system?
Well, we looked at the classification system, first of all, to understand why it was designed as it was, and then we took a look to see how the general schedule system is working now, 65 years after it was created. And basically what we found was that the occupation descriptions are very narrow, so narrow that it's hard to shift people easily between jobs, that the pay rules make it harder for agencies to recruit and retain valued employees. And we concluded that we need to have a more modern and effective classification system, which retains merit at its core, but which is more flexible.
And you write, flexibility is one attribute of that modern, effective classification system. You told the committee transparency and simplicity are others. There are eight total, and you can find all the details of those in your testimony. We have it linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And you told the committee the GS system's design reflects some of these eight attributes, but some are at odds with others. And I imagine that makes it more complicated for OPM and the agencies to try to take on this whole issue, Yvonne.
No, that's correct. What we found was that OPM and the agencies do try very much to apply the principles of the system. But, for example, one of the problems is that there are 420 different occupations, and sometimes there are, the difference between two different occupational positions is really fairly nuanced, and the classification specialists who are working on it really need to know in depth the difference between the two positions. And sometimes if they don't really know the nuances and they're writing job descriptions, what can happen, for example, is that there's a decrease in transparency. So we feel that OPM and the agencies really need to take a look at the current structure of the GS system and see what changes are needed.
The second area that you told the committee about in your testimony is mission-critical skills gaps. And your testimony says that earlier this year you identified skills gaps in nearly two dozen occupations with significant program implementation impacts. What's the significance of that information that you conveyed to the committee, Yvonne?
Well, the significance is that given that the federal government is potentially facing a large retirement wave, and also given that there is some concern about whether the federal government can recruit millennials into the workforce, that there's concern about whether there are certain positions, critical skills like cybersecurity or contract specialist, whether we will be able to fill those positions if people either decide to leave the federal workforce or retire. So we're quite concerned also that agencies identify new areas where there may be critical skills gaps because of the evolving and complex nature of the federal government.
Yvonne Jones of the Government Accountability Office is my guest. She was a witness the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Federal Management last week, testifying about some of the work GAO's done on human capital. You told the committee that you'd made recommendations to OPM a number of steps to take to address the mission-critical skills gaps issue, and one of the things that they did was establish an interagency working group, and your testimony says that's expected to identify a new set of government-wide skills gaps by June 2015. Is that a step in the right direction in your view, Yvonne?
Oh, yes. We think it's very much a step in the right direction because, first of all, you have OPM and the agencies working close together. Secondly, OPM and the agencies will update the list of skill gaps that they identified earlier in 2012 and 2013. And so long as this group or this kind of activity can continue to be carried out on a reasonable and regular basis, we think that that will help OPM and the agencies continue to keep up with the evolving needs and jobs for the federal workforce.
The third of the four areas that you covered with the subcommittee, Yvonne, is improving performance management. And this primarily seems to address the issue of poor performers and how to either improve their performance or to help them into another profession. And you write that improved supervision and better use of probationary periods are needed to address substandard employee performance, according to work that you've done earlier this year at the GAO. When I read the word better, though, and listen to your testimony, I didn't necessarily infer the word longer. Did I miss something, or is that a correct inference on my part?
Well, In the work, the detailed work that we did on this, we found by discussing with chief human capital officers and supervisors in the agencies that sometimes staff's probationary periods are close to expiration, and the supervisors told us that they haven't actually seen all of the skills that new employees need to demonstrate. So some of these supervisors and chief human capital officers suggested that having a longer probationary period would be very helpful so that the supervisors could see the full range of employee performance before a decision is made as to whether they should become permanent employees or not.
The last item that you looked at was strengthening employee engagement, and you testified to the committee that the recent government-wide decline in engagement masks the fact that a majority of agencies either have sustained or increased their employee engagement levels. There's kind of a good news story hidden there, it sounds like, Yvonne.
That's true. I mean, we feel that if there's decline in engagement at even one agency, that you know, that's something that requires serious management attention. But our work has shown that when you look much more closely at engagement scores in the federal government, that, in fact, at 31 of the agencies, they did maintain scores. 3 did increase their scores. However, there's still concern because the scores dropped at 3 large agencies, at the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, and Veterans Affairs, and we know that those agencies represent a very high proportion of the federal workforce. So yes, there's good news there that under difficult circumstances, the agencies have been able to influence employee engagement levels, and then there's the counter to that, which I mentioned earlier.
Overall, in each of these four areas, I see only one particular area of recommendations that you made where the agencies or OPM didn't agree with you. That was in the performance management area that we talked about. But overall, it seems like your work was well received, and in some cases, you even testified that they're on the path to executing, implementing the recommendations that you've made. So is it fair to say that overall this is headed in the right direction? Of course, it's too soon to say that that this can come off the high-risk list anytime soon. But it mm-hmm. sounds like we're trending well, if that's reasonable to say.
Well, let's put it this way. There are areas of progress we have noted. We, in fact, in doing our high-risk examination earlier this year, updating our high-risk list, we did note that OPM and other agencies have made progress, but we continue to feel that more effort needs to be put forth, because until we can see, for example, that agencies are able to measure their needs and then assess their needs in all of these areas and do so via using reliable data sources so that they can assure themselves and assure OPM and the Congress that they've made progress, we still feel that the agencies need to remain on and OPM on the high-risk list and continue to make the efforts that they've begun to improve the management of the federal workforce.